Today, the lovely literary Strand magazine publishes a forgotten and virtually unknown story of John Steinbeck called With Your Wings, the story of a black man learning to fly and lifting his family and every other black man in America up into the sky with him. It was read by Orson Welles on his radio variety show back in July of 1944, a quirky show that itself is nearly forgotten.
Good evening, this is Orson Welles just saying hello before the show starts. This is your radio almanac for March 8th. The moon entered Virgo this morning. The moon in Virgo is a nice, sociable sign, friendly and helpful, like the man who sells you your mobile gas.
Welles loved to read stories and speak with guests. Commercials were also a part of the show in a much more relaxed way than they are today in the media. Andrew Gooley, managing editor of the Strand magazine, found the story With Your Wings while combing through the University of Texas library. Here's the first line of the story. He knew most of all that he wanted to go home, that there was something at home he had to get, and he didn't even know what that was.
John Steinbeck was a very progressive writer. He was ahead of his time, and he was a writer who had always tried to speak out for people who were marginalized, people who were poor, people who were suffering. And the story is about this young African-American soldier who's coming back to his hometown after training to be an Air Force pilot. And this was a time where African-American soldiers were not treated very well. They were not allowed to worship in the same chapels where white soldiers had worshipped. They were separated in, in their eating quarters. So Steinbeck was, I think, trying to give a very, very powerful message how most African Americans had looked at World War II as part of their fight and part of something that they needed to contribute to the United States. And this might have been a faint cry saying that perhaps the U.S. Army and a lot of states should have passed laws to treat these people better.
So I read this twice, Andrew. The first time I read it through, it was this very emotional, wow, what a moment for an African American to come home and to be recognized by his family as having achieved this milestone, the gold bars on his shoulders. And then I read it a second time, and I thought to myself, all right, from the African-American's perspective, this could be seen as a very over-sentimentalized view of what was going on at the time. How do you see that?
I have a bit of a mixed feeling on both things. I would say I had a similar feeling to that. And a part of me did agree that at the end, perhaps it was over-sentimentalized. Perhaps it was making something appear cleaner, making something appear more harmonious than it was. But then I stepped back a little and I said to myself, let's take things in their context. And the United States in 1944, I don't know if the radio listeners were ready to hear something that was quite hard-hitting about how African-Americans were segregated in the army. And I think that this was John Steinbeck's way of trying to show something in a sentimentalized way with a hope that that would bring some understanding among people who were perhaps bigoted, people who are not as progressive as he was.
You know, I'm looking at this great line, which is the big reveal, although there is a reference to the kinky hair of his brother that happens a couple of paragraphs before, which is kind of a clue, a signpost of what you're about to learn. But the father says to the son, "Son, every black man in the world is going to fly with your wings." I wonder, there could be a lot of lines there. You know, it could be, "Watch your back, son."
You know, that's a great point. The reason I think Steinbeck has resonated with people for the past 70 years is that he's able to have everybody, all his readers, walk inside the shoes of another person, be it an impoverished farmer in the Dust Bowl or a young African-American soldier who's trying to come to the terms with the fact that he's feeling a huge weight of expectations on his shoulders and a lot of pressure. So when I read that, I just stepped back and I said to myself, my God, this is giving me a perspective on how a minority and an African-American had felt fighting during World War II that I had never, ever had. I had never paused to think, my God, there can be a lot of mixed feelings about not being treated well, which I had hoped perhaps that maybe there is a bit of more of a clue to that, but also a feeling of great pressure, feeling that you're an outlier, you're one of the first people who is marching head on into something that's unknown.
Well, there's definitely a feeling of pressure, but it's very much a sense of pure pride, almost as though there will be time later for the worries about how you'll be treated in the air, or how you'll have to be an example, and you'll have to be perfect, and that if you aren't the best pilot in the world, that everyone's going to be bringing you down. The sense of having to be sort of the Jackie Robinson, you know, which comes in the next decade. This story really gives us that.
Exactly, and to even go forward on something. John Steinbeck of the 1940s was a different John Steinbeck from the 1950s and 60s, in that he came to see the United States as a country where excess was killing us, where a lot of he'd hoped that the civil rights movement would progress quicker than it had progressed. And he was frustrated at how in the South black children were being harassed when they were going to school. And he said at one point, to paraphrase him, he said that he was not a violent man, but if people were treating his children and harassing them in such a fashion, he said, I might, you know, take a stick and start hitting people on the head with that. And another interesting part of John Steinbeck is, though he was very progressive, he was a supporter of the Vietnam War in the 60s. The reason he had supported the war was because he was supportive of the Great Society policies of Lyndon Johnson, and he even helped him write the platform for the Great Society. He was just looking at Johnson as this transformative figure who would change a lot of the domestic policies of the United States to be more progressive.
Well, with the exception of the war in Iraq, it's you know, very profound to see that Steinbeck spans this whole period of American history and so much change. And in this little, simple story, we can see so much of 20th century U.S. history. Now, you need to get yourself along back into the library to find another one of these gems so that we can talk again.
Well, you have about two more that I can promise you'll be coming out next year.
Well, that's fabulous to hear. Andrew Gulley, managing editor of The Strand Magazine, thanks so much.
Thanks, Don. Always fun chatting with you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.